Good morning, church. Happy Sunday morning to you all. How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Let's thank our worship team, our music ministry for leading us in worship today. I heard we had a great time last week, our official kickoff service for 2019 and our Trust the Process series. Jazz did an amazing job preaching the word. Pastor Jazz, we watched on Facebook Live. It was awesome on Facebook Live. I'm sure it was even more amazing in person. So we're going to continue our series today, but let's go ahead and make sure that all of our friends and family on Facebook get a chance to hear the word of God today. If we can take out our phones. And I just want to give you the easiest way for you to share your faith this week. And that's simply by going to the Path Church on Facebook and sharing our live stream. Sharing our live stream. And also, if you don't like us, I know you like us. But if you have yet to click on the button on the other social media pages, please do that as well. So you can stay up to date and your friends and family, your network can stay up to date to what God is doing through the Path Church. So yes, we are continuing our Trust the Process series, and we're going through the book of Acts. Because, you know, as I was praying and we were discussing, and I'm like, man, that is the process, right? Like, after Jesus left, that is the process that the disciples had to go through, right? And so I want us to be aware of that process, to learn from their process, to imitate their faith, so we can know what to expect in our spiritual process. And that is the title of my message today, The Spiritual Process. The Spiritual Process, part one. We're going to be talking about this for the next few weeks. And we're going to start in Acts chapter one. Before we do that, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord, in humility, asking you and pleading with you that your Spirit may be with us, God, that your Spirit will fill us and fill this place and fill our hearts and our minds today, Lord God. Father, because we want to hear from you, we want to see you. We pray that you will reveal yourself to us in a special way, to us individually, to us as a family, to us as a church, Father. So that we can keep in step with your Spirit, Lord. As we learn more about your Spirit and your spiritual process, Father, I pray that, God, that we can just be in touch with you so that we can become more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We know it is his Spirit that lives inside of us. And I pray that your Spirit will be with me as I preach your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Acts chapter 1. We're going to start from the beginning here in verse 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1, as we know, this is a continuation of the Gospel of Luke. Dr. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and he also wrote the book of Acts. And he is picking up where we left off in that Gospel. Once Jesus came back, and he's given kind of a, he was resurrected, he's given us a little bit of a review on all that happened and what was going to happen moving forward. So it says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. Amen. And God's so generous. He likes giving us some gifts. Which you heard me speak about. I told you about this gift, Jesus says. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power. What will you receive? Can you say it like, you know, when you say power, you almost got to like put a little power in it, right? So what are we going to receive? Power. Oh, okay, that's a little better. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Okay? Acts chapter 1, Dr. Luke is writing this, as we talked about. He is gifted and skilled in research, and so he gives us an accurate historical account about the early church. And he starts here in Acts speaking about the things that happened when Jesus resurrected. So it says that he gave many convincing proofs. So he came back so many times and appeared so many ways that it was like, it was proof. There was evidence. Like, this is real. Jesus really resurrected. He was alive. And this is over a long span of 40 days. So it wasn't like he came back for like a day and whoever saw him saw him. No, it was like for 40 days, over a month, he kept appearing to the disciples. And what did he speak about? The kingdom of God. That was what was on his mind. So during one night, they're having dinner one night. Jesus says, listen, don't leave Jerusalem. You all need to wait. Sound familiar? While we wait. That was a convicting message, wasn't it? That message last week that Jazz did, while we wait. And so Jesus was telling them, listen, you guys have to wait. And you need to wait for this gift, the Holy Spirit. My Father promised it. I told you about it. You're going to get this incredible gift. We all like getting gifts. That's a love language, right? The five love languages, receiving gifts. And this is the ultimate gift, right? The Holy Spirit. This is in the same way that John immersed people in water, you're going to be totally immersed in this Holy Spirit, totally engulfed by the Spirit. Getting the Spirit was so important to Jesus that he didn't want them to go anywhere to do anything without it. Because he said, man, once you get this Spirit, it's going to be amazing. You're going to have this power. And no, not power over the Roman government. I mean, they're still talking about this Roman government. They're like, I'm going to get power. Okay, that means we're going to overthrow the... No, Jesus is like, no, not over the Roman government, but the power to be witnesses. The power to be witnesses. So they do, they obey, they stay in Jerusalem. And surely enough, on the day of Pentecost, which we read about in Acts chapter 2, it says they were all together. There's power when you're all together in one place. It says there was a sound. It says like a violent wind that filled the house where they were, came from heaven. Then it was like something like, I love this, like the imagery, because it didn't say it was, it's something like, the best way to describe it is tongues of fire that came and settled on them. And suddenly, what do? They start speaking in different languages. So they didn't have Google Translator back then. So it's not like they looked it up. I mean, just by the power of the Holy Spirit, they are able to preach the word, God's plan of salvation to all these different people. In all these different languages, it says in the Bible that there was God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven there. All right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, I watched that as I was doing the research. I'm like, it gave me chills. I mean, can you imagine just being there at that moment and being engulfed with the Spirit in that way? It's just amazing to see. But before that, we really see them like struggling with the process, right? Like struggling with waiting and trusting the process. I mean, that was real for them. They're like, man, we've been praying. Come on, how long is this going to take, man? Until it actually happens. And then all of a sudden it was all worth it, right? The wait was worth it because they just, oh, man, after that, it says, you know, Peter. I mean, it was so crazy. People were like, what's going on? They thought they were drunk. That's what the Bible says. These folks are drunk. They were so filled with the Spirit. And Peter gets up. He's like, no, we're not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. This is what God spoke about, that the Spirit is going to move in this way. And he goes on to preach the gospel message. And 3,000 people that day made Jesus Lord, repented, and were baptized, right, for the forgiveness of the sin. And then they got the gift of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And so in that moment, the kingdom of God, the gates to the kingdom of God were open. If you remember earlier in the book of Matthew, Jesus gave the keys to the kingdom to Peter. And so here he's preaching and opening the doors to the kingdom of God. The church is part of God's kingdom here on earth. And so that's what happens here. But it was the Holy Spirit who would open the doors. Peter had the keys. The Spirit would open the doors. And so we see what the power, like this power that gave, that the Holy Spirit gave them to be witnesses. We saw what it can accomplish. 3,000 people baptized in one day. 3,000 souls saved. The start of the church. And by God, do we not need that same power now to be witnesses? Oh, my goodness. I mean, the world is lost. I mean, it was such a rough week for us, those of us who serve with Character Ed down in Clayton County in the College Park area, because the holiday break was really tough. We had one of the alumni from North Clayton High School came back from Christmas break, got involved in some stuff, and ended up getting shot on the front porch of his friend's house by a dude and his girlfriend, who were later caught at Chuck E. Cheese with their children. It's like, and this kid, he was at college. He just came back, made some bad decisions. I mean, all of a sudden, he's gone, right? After that, I showed a couple of weeks ago at Northview about the football player that we worked with personally, and all of a sudden, I get a screenshot of his mugshot, right? Because he's a lookout to this thing, and now he's charged with felony murder. Man, that's tough. Then this past week, one of the kids at North Clayton committed suicide. Jason, I mean, and what adds to that is that his brother, in his grief, of course, he doesn't know how to handle it. He gets on Instagram talking about, North Clayton, you're going to pay for this. I'm coming to get y'all. But you can't make a threat against a school. And so what do? They went and picked him up, went to jail. So you got a grieving brother who now he's in jail. I mean, you just think about all the, guys, the world is lost, and Satan is attacking, and our children are dying. They're dying out here. And man, and as us as brothers, we just had a really good talk. I mean, we just said, man, we got to step up our spiritual game. We got to learn how to use these weapons a little bit more. We got to tap into the spirit just a little bit more because Satan, he's doing his thing. And I'm like, man, is this just this going there, speaking to these kids? It's not enough. Like we got to start praying more. We got to fast more. We just got to plant more seeds. I mean, we got to sacrifice whatever we got to do to save. Because we're not talking about just saving souls, which is the most important thing, but literally we're saving their lives. Like, but it's not just in these towns and these cities that are poverty or in the hood or whatever it may be. Our affluent cities are going through the same thing. Suicides are happening there too. The opioid crisis is happening there too. Sex trafficking is happening there too. In our subdivisions of middle class America and upper class America, I mean, that's the same sin is happening. It's happening. And I don't ever want us to get into that bubble. Like, we look around and everybody's really nice. And we're part of these Christian friends that are really nice to us. And we start forgetting the spiritual battle and the need, the desperate need for every single one of us to be witnesses. And I always thought about that word witnesses as, okay, well, that's as somebody that just saw something, right, and is telling something in court about or the police or whatever it is. I saw something and I'm telling you about it. And that is one of the definitions, somebody who witnessed something, right? And in the other definitions, I looked it up, it actually means evidence or proof. And so that means that not only are we supposed to speak about Jesus and our interaction with Jesus, but us ourselves as Christians, we are evidence and proof of God being real. Like us just being who we are, being disciples, our stories, that is evidence and proof that God is real. We've got these signs out there holding, I am a miracle. Yes, every single one of us who have been forgiven of our sins, we're miracles. We know what we've been through. Let's not forget where God rescued us from. And where we would be right now without God. The power to be a witness. And that's just one part of it. I mean, when we read through the book of Acts, the Spirit, it plays such a, he's such an essential character in this story that people have called it Acts of the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Spirit as a noun, and the Holy Spirit is mentioned 57 times in the NIV version. 57 times. If you read the book of Acts, it reads as if the Spirit is just part of the crew. Like, he's just the homie. He's with them on their adventure doing things. Like, he's alive. Like, he's part of the crew. He's not just like a faraway being that just like shows up every once in a while. I mean, he's rolling with them. A spiritual process, it starts with power. The intrinsic power of the Holy Spirit. And power is simply the ability to do something or act in a particular way. That's it. It's also defined as the ability to influence the behavior of others or the course of events. And the Spirit does both, because that's the intrinsic power of the Spirit does both. It has the ability to influence behavior, course of events, but also the ability to do whatever it wants to do. But the Spirit's power is a little greater than just regular power, right? The Spirit's power has greater influence, capacity, right? It's on another level. And that's called being a superpower. That makes the Spirit a superpower, greater power than normal. And it's by this superpower that the Spirit is able to give us superpowers. I like to think of it as the Spirit is the superhero that makes us superheroes. Is there one like that? I still haven't heard of a superhero that makes other people superheroes. Is there one? Huh? Megamind can make people. Oh, we got a real superhero fan right here. I didn't know that, Dee Dee. All right. But let's look at how these superpowers come to life in the book of Acts. So in these 57 mentions, we learn the Holy Spirit does a lot of things. One, it gives instruction, gives power, gives instructions. It gives wisdom. The Spirit fills people. It falls upon or comes upon people. It encourages people. It sends people. And it even takes people away. Like Philip, after he baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, he teleported. That's what it did. The Spirit speaks. The Spirit speaks in the Bible. It urges. It compels. It warns. And it inspires people to speak the word of God boldly. In addition, the Spirit predicts. It predicts the future. It stops us. So it stops people, or it keeps people from doing things or going to certain places. And it makes people overseers. The Spirit itself appoints, sets people apart to roles of leadership. It appoints leaders. And that's just what we read about in the book of Acts. I'm not even talking about what we read about in the Old Testament. I'm not even talking about what Jesus talks about. The characteristics of the Spirit are going to be in the Gospels or in the epistles of what we see the Spirit doing. That's just in the book of Acts, church. Do we really grasp the power of the Holy Spirit? The question I have for you is, have you ever asked yourself, well, why don't I experience the Spirit the way I read about in the Bible? Why don't we experience that? Why doesn't my family experience that? Why doesn't my small group experience that same power? So Let's talk about the reality, right? The thing is, we come from, all of us have different backgrounds, right? And so some of us come from what is called a more charismatic leaning, right? Here's the thing, and so our personal experiences, our church experiences, our family backgrounds, the different denominations we come from, it all like shapes our perspective and our convictions about the Holy Spirit. So for those of us who come from a more charismatic background, we have seen the Spirit displayed in some pretty like amazing, incredible, like over the top, really powerful ways, right? Manifested itself in some ways, like in speaking in tongues, right? And so even in like my experience, because I don't know, God just allowed me to go to like every type of church just about. I mean, I've been to, I had a little small Spanish Pentecostal church in a little corner. I mean, it was like 50 seats in there. First Baptist church, I went to the non-denominational church. I even went to a mosque because they had fish afterwards, and I was a Hungry College student, and I went through it, and I just saw all these different things. So, like, for me, I saw people speaking in a language that was not understandable. Like, nobody was interpreting it. It wasn't like that where it was like a different language, right? It was just like a lot of just different sayings and chants, right, that were not – that you couldn't really understand or didn't sound like a language that I knew about. And that's what a lot of people talk about when they speak in like an angelic language. I've seen like rebuking and like demons, you know, like come out of her, like people going into compulsions, putting, like, they have to put, you know, sheets over them. I mean, they're shaking. I mean, I've seen this as a kid in church, right? It was a little bit scary for me. I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is crazy. I mean, even, like, being slain in the spirit. Like, you know, Benny Hinn, for those of you who know, is like, whew, right? And all these people would fall down. And I remember, like my mom, and we got to be sensitive to this stuff, right? Because we all come from different leanings and backgrounds. So my mom, like, took us one time, and I'm like, I've seen this before. Like, I'm a teenager at this point. I'm like, he ain't going to get me. I'm about to debunk this thing. And before it went viral, like, things were viral, I'm like, this is going to be, like, everybody's going to see that this is not real. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go up there. Then he comes around, and he does a little something, and I'm like, trying hard right here. I mean, I got my footing. I got a good stance about myself. I'm like, I don't know what people, how they fall, but I ain't falling. Man, next thing I knew, I was waking up like, what in the world? I tell you no lie. Now, you know, the thing is, I thought about it even before I was a Christian. I'm like, but okay, I never saw it in the Bible. Like, you never see people, like, preachers doing that in the Bible, the apostles, like, making people fall out just for the sake of it. And so I was like, okay, it's a spirit. And this is the thing, like, the Bible says test the spirits because there's different spirits. And so, you know, the reason why we follow, it's called the Holy Spirit. It's the spirit that's set apart, right, from all the other spirits. And so the spiritual realm has a lot of spirits and powers. All right. And so that's why the Bible says test the spirits to make sure that you're really being influenced by the Holy Spirit. But a lot of that, the charismatic stuff, a lot of that would happen in a highly emotional church service. But rarely, like for us as a family, just to speak on my own experience, like although we would go and see that and, you know, we take part or whatever. And after that, I mean, Sunday afternoon through Saturday, it wasn't like that was happening as we went. It was just something that happened in service. And when it was very emotional, music was playing and that kind of stuff. That's just my experience. Now, some of us are on the other side, very conservative side of things, right? The Word of God was written by men as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So as long as we have the Bible, we have the Spirit. And so let's not go beyond what the Bible says. the miraculous gifts, they were only able to be transferred by who? Apostles, right? And so once the apostles died, no more miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. That ability or gift to transfer spirits died with them. Okay? And there is some church history that supports that in the generations to come, like the transferring of the miraculous gifts of the Spirit did die down in some ways. So we understand that. No need to speak in tongues right now anyway. I mean, God gave us Google Translator, like we talked about. I mean, and so really, do you need that? You know what I mean? And so on the more conservative side, so we're good. Like, we have the Bible and we have the indwelling of the Spirit, right? And those are the good things that we want, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, all these beautiful characteristics. That's basically what you can expect. And some regular gifts, like of administration and encouragement, you know, and just the regular gifts, right? That's what the more conservative side says. Now, some of us are like, man, I didn't grow up in church. I'm still trying to figure out how three gods are one, right? Like, how is the Holy Spirit God? With God the Father, Jesus, but you're just one God? Like, I just don't understand, like, that whole Spirit stuff. I don't understand. Or maybe you've even said something like, well, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Right? Well, we don't really know what that means. When we just say that and we don't know about the Bible, the Holy Spirit, that really just means that I'm going against organized religion and church, but there is a part of me that yearns for something beyond the physical. Right? That's really what that means. That's what I hear when people say that. And then we come here to the path. Well, all our different experiences, all our different backgrounds, right? And people are really nice to us, and they serve us. They ask us to study the Bible. And, you know, so we start going into the scriptures and talking about our lives and how the Bible affects us and what it means to make Jesus Lord. And it builds our faith because the Bible says that our faith is built by hearing the word of Jesus Christ. And so our faith is built, and we decide, man, I really want to make Jesus Lord, or I need to get back right with God, or whatever it may be, right? And so we, those of us who decide that we need to make Jesus Lord and repent and be baptized, like in Acts chapter 2, we do that, and we're taught that we, at this point, we get the forgiveness of sin. Woo-hoo, amazing. If only for that, praise God. But we also get this gift of the Holy Spirit, which is awesome. The gift of the Holy Spirit living inside God himself, the Spirit of Christ living in me. But what does that even mean? Like, practically, what does that mean for us? Like, how does that affect my everyday life? And most of the time, as we are going through these Bible studies, we really don't spend a lot of time on that. But we do want to make sure that you learn about that. And so, you know, we have a Deep Convictions book. And some of it talks about the Holy Spirit. And we're preaching about it now. But it lends itself to really not really understanding the complete power of the Spirit and how it affects our lives. And if we don't have that understanding, I like to call that the baby in a Bentley syndrome. The baby in a Bentley syndrome. The highest paid Nigerian blogger, Linda Ikeji, who just gave birth to a baby boy, Jace, bought a Bentley. And how do you say this? Mosani? How do you say the Bentley? Alex, I know you know about Bentleys. What? Mosani Bentley? Is that right? Something. Mosa. And so it arrived in Lagos, and the excited mother couldn't get more excited as she shared numerous photos of her son in this new car. So she buys a Bentley for her son, Jace. Buys it in here in Atlanta, and then has it delivered to Nigeria, and she's really excited about that. And my man, bless his heart, he don't know what's going on. He got this car that's worth about $375,000, can go 0 to 60 in about 5 seconds. Now, this car weighs about 6,000 pounds, so that's pretty amazing. So you consider 0 to 60 in 5 seconds for a vehicle that weighs a half ton more than a Chevy Tahoe. And so that's pretty amazing that it can do that, right? I read the reviews. I mean, they're like, yeah, this is worth like $375,000. It's worth it for this like vehicle. Like, it is amazing. But the little man, JC, bless his heart, he does not have a clue of its value or its power. He just thinks, man, mom really got me some really comfortable seats. Like, this is awesome. I'm very comfortable sitting here. But that's how some of us are who inherit the Spirit. We don't have a clue of its value or its power. We just know that our brother Jesus Christ is pretty excited about it. And maybe we heard that Jesus called the Spirit a comforter, so it's going to make us a little bit more comfortable, make life a little bit more easier. The baby in the Bentley syndrome. But God wants us to not settle to just be a baby in a Bentley. God wants us to use this incredible gift to its full potential. And it starts with reading the manual. No matter our background, the goal is to study it out in the scriptures. Because one thing we can take to the bank is this. The Spirit of God will never contradict the Word of God, okay? But the key is to read it for what it is, like in context, asking God for wisdom, making sure that our tradition or our experiences don't supersede biblical truth. So let's talk a little bit about just this concept of power, our relationship as people with power, and then what the Bible says about power, right? Power, like I said, is simply the ability to do the things we want. So we often do all types of things to have superpowers, like to have a greater power than other people, right? We want an edge, right? We want superpowers. That's why we love superheroes, right? We love that. We love that concept. We want to do things and we want to influence people or situations. So we want to have power to be able to do that, right? And like a great example of that is athletes, right? It's Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, have you ever like researched some of the stuff these athletes do to get an edge, like to be more powerful than the other person? I mean, it's crazy. The latest thing is something called smelling salts. Smelling salts, all right? And this is ammonia. A little packet that they smell, and it's ammonia. I mean, they smell it, and it says that it wakes them up. I mean, this is kind of crazy. I mean, there's thousands of these on the sideline at a football game. Coaches do this. You ain't even playing. I mean, it's crazy. I saw a video where like regular people did it. I mean, you should see like they're going absolutely nuts. Because of the impact it has, it's like this like spark of being high in the moment, right? They do it all throughout the game. And we do the same thing. Like, it may not be smelling salts, but we're the same way. Like, we're trying to tap into that extra piece of power, right? To help us like get a kickstart in the morning. That coffee with a double shot of espresso and I just need something to get me going, right? I mean, sometimes it's worse than that, right? It may be alcohol, right? I want to get it. You know, I can't really get into the moment without drinking or smoking weed, or so we need these extra things, right? We just need this extra power. I mean, people do different things. They meditate, and some people go to God like to get extra power. Like we, as a people, we want this. We want to believe that. We have some type of power or control over our lives. But over and over again, we're faced with the fact that we don't. Like basic things like the weather. We still haven't figured out how to control the weather. The best meteorologist cannot predict the weather. I mean, when the storm comes, the storm is coming. We can't stop the hurricanes. Like, there are things outside of our power, right? I was talking to another dad yesterday. I took Layla. I had a great weekend. I took Layla to a daddy-daughter dance Friday night, and I had another date with Aria yesterday to Chick-fil-A. I mean, it's been a great early Valentine's Day dates. And so I'm talking to this other dad. They're expecting a baby, and they're not going to find out what the sex of the baby is until the baby is born. I said, bless your heart. We are way too much of planners to ever do that. But here's the thing. We still haven't figured out how to make a baby boy or girl. And no matter what old wives' tales that grandma has, he's like, you know, his wife's Puerto Rican. He's like, you know, well, you know, her mom is saying that if my daughter now is mean to mom, then she's having that sibling rivalry with the baby. And so it's going to be a girl. If the belly is higher up or lower, right? I mean, all this stuff, we have no power over that. And then what really gets us is when we start feeling like we really don't have any self-control to be who we want to be or do what we want to do or change the things in our lives that we really want to change. And for me, it was the absence of power and the acknowledgement of that that really led me to God. It really led me to God because for me, I had all these religious experiences where I was really convinced, like, this time when I pray Jesus into my heart, I'm really going to change. I was really sincere the many times because I would ask Jesus into my heart or do the altar call just about every time, like, it got presented because just in case Jesus had left, I wanted him, because I didn't know what that meant. Do you want Jesus in your heart? Yeah, I want Jesus into. Like, it was like at football camp, our football players, it's like, yeah, they all said, yeah, I want to follow Jesus. And then they asked it again the next night, and they all went down again because, like, I want to follow Jesus. They don't understand. I didn't understand. And I was sincere about it, right? But my life never changed. And I'm like, there's something missing. When I can't even have power over my own self, I can't have self-control. And then as I got to know the scriptures, there's a scripture that has always, like, made a huge impact in my life and stuck with me. It's Romans chapter 5 in verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm like, that is me. I am powerless. And you're telling me that Jesus wants to die for me at my lowest point? I'm in. I thought I had to come with a tight game. Like, I thought I had to know a few things or be a better guy before Jesus would die for me because of stuff I had done. No way Jesus would die for me. And maybe some of us feel like that today. Maybe some of us feel like, man, I don't have the power. I want to change. I want to grow. But I'm missing that power to change and grow. And I want to encourage you that what you need to do is turn to God. Look, check out this next scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7, the NLT says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, timidity, but of power, of love, and self-discipline. And so going to God, getting that spirit, and dwelling in us gives us not one of fear, of anxiety, of worry, of I don't know if I can do this, but one of power, confidence, right? This holy confidence and love. Like, as Christians with the Holy Spirit, as we are trying to love God, love our neighbor, love the lost, love our spouse, love our children, guess what? The Spirit wants to do that for us and help us in doing that. You know, my wife and I, we're growing in that this year. We want to take our love to the next level, baby. This is the year of romance for the Maldonado family, baby. Like, we'll be married 14 years in March, and we're like, man, we want to keep the spark going. And guess what? I'm confident because we have the Holy Spirit that can teach me how to better love my wife, better be thoughtful to her needs, better serve my wife, right? We can take it back to our theme scripture, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the what? Power of the Holy Spirit. That's the way that we can have, like, a super joy and a super peace. The Bible says that transcends all understanding. Like, people should look at our peace and be like, there's no way that person had peace with all the stuff they got going on in their lives. That's because of the Holy Spirit in us. It's just that we can not only have hope, but we can overflow with hope by the Spirit of God. man, that's a far cry from the baby in the Bentley syndrome, right? There's one more scripture as we close out that I want to end with that's going to bring this point home. And it's a prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. We often quote verse 20 about God doing immeasurably more than we can ask for or imagine, right? But if you read it in context, it's pretty inspiring. The prayer, it's a prayer. It says this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. That's what we're talking about today. So that Christ, why do we need that power? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have what?
Power.
Now we're doing a little better. Together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Peace that surpasses understanding. Love, knowing a love that surpasses knowledge. That's crazy, right? That you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine, according to his
power
that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the church said,
amen.
He is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to this incredible power that is at work within us, within you, within me. Not a power that's out there, a power that's in our inner being. That's the gift. If we don't have a deep conviction on the power of the Holy Spirit, then that gift really doesn't have much value. That's the power that's at work within us. We got to meditate on this week. That's all I want us to do. I want us to meditate on the truth, the biblical truth of the power that we have access to through the Holy Spirit, to be informed about it, to be in tune with this power that is at our disposal. Literally, the Spirit of Christ, Christ Jesus. How many of us love Jesus? How many of us love Jesus? How many of us are inspired by Jesus?
Amen.
How many of us would do anything for Jesus?
Amen.
Jesus lives inside of us.
Right.
This is being, his soul, his spirit. Like, the spirit is the essence of who Jesus is and was, lives on it. That's why Matthew 28, 18 through 20, go make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, and Lord, I will be with you always. Well, he wasn't there physically. He went back up to heaven. But he's there with us in spirit forever. Let's try to meditate on this, build conviction on this, because this is the type of stuff that gives us a different type of confidence, a confidence that is holy, a confidence that sets us apart, a holy confidence as we walk throughout our week, striving to be a light for God. And next week, we'll talk about what it takes to tap into this power. But this week, let's just build a conviction on that we have this power and what this power means for us. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, how could we even talk to you, God? I mean, it's crazy that we can even talk to you, Lord. You are so powerful and strong and incredible. I mean, you're the King of Kings, the creator of all creation. I mean, you invented wisdom. You invented inventions. I mean, it's just like, I can't even comprehend. We cannot comprehend your power, Father God. So we are humbled. Knowing that, I mean, we are just a speck of sand, and yet you sent your son to die for us. We see your power in the cross, in the resurrection. And that's what we celebrate right now. We know that there's power, that this bread, this cracker is not just a cracker, this juice is not just juice. We know that there's power because it represents the body of Christ that was broken. We know there's power because it represents the blood of Jesus that cleanses us of all of our sin. We know that there's power in that, Father God. And we do this to remember you, to remember your power, God, that is literally at work within us. Father, please give us a deep conviction. Father, help us not to ever minimize or undermine or devalue the power that you give us. Help us to embrace it, to learn about it. God, so that we can truly be who you want us to be. To be the witnesses you want us to be. And in Jesus' powerful and holy name we pray.